Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
So today's daf is daf Chaf, and we are going to pick up the second to bottom line on your testament. Is that where they got yesterday? Did they get to the bottom? Okay.
Yep.
So we'll pick up in the second to bottom line. Maskefla Rav Huna. So Rav Huna asks a question on Rabbi. So we've been dealing with this concept of the idea that if the in Kachim in particular, that in relating to Karbanis, that if something is repeated, so that it demonstrates that that is a an absolute requirement, that it's essential to the service. And so the way they're understanding Rabbi is saying those things that are repeated are critical, and if they're missing, the carbon is not doesn't work. And if something is not repeated, then it's not critical. So the question they're asking, that the Rav Huna asks, is as follows. Hare melech, when you deal with salt, deloitana bekra, that it was not repeated, the psukim were not repeated to say that you needed to have salt on a carbon. And we'll get through, as we go through the Gemara, we'll see the psukim that talk about putting salt on carbonus. But there's a requirement to put salt, and the way Rav Huna understands it, that's not repeated. Ma'akva, and yet the absence of salt is ma'akiv the carbon. It says the carbon is not valid if it's missing salt. Where do we ma'akve bay? Where do we see this idea? Where do we know that it is ma'akiv that the carbon is invalid if there is no salt? The sanya, because we learned in a brisa as follows: bris melech olam hu. So the pasuk here is. It says, Kol Trumos HaKadoshim Asher Yarimu B'nei Yisrael Hashem, any Trumos of Kachim, that gifts of Kachim that B'nei Yisrael separate to Hashem, Nesati L'chol L'vanechol L'vanosecha Yitzcha L'chol Kolom, that I gave it to you and to your children. So it's talking to the Kohanim. Bris Melech Olam Hi, it is a bris, a covenant of salt forever. L'fnei Hashem L'chol L'zaracha Yitzcha. Right, so it says that it is that the salt is a bris, it's a covenant, and it's an eternal covenant. And so you see, shetehei bris amura b'melach. So you see the idea that as relates to, and we're understanding that this pasuk relates to salt and carbonus. We're now on Amud Aleph, on Chaf Amud Aleph. That you see that as relates to salt, there's a bris, and Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The way Rabbi Yehuda understands this is that the nature of a bris. If something is a covenant, then it's necessary. And so you see that melech is a necessary thing. Rabbi Shimon says, Nemar kan bris melech olam hi, that it says this pasuk, that it's a bris, that it's an eternal bris. V'nemar lahalon, and it says further, bris kuhunas olam. This was written by Pimchas, where it says, V'hai solo lezara achrov bris kuhunas olam, tachas asher kinei lelkov, So this is talking after Pinchas stepped up and killed Zimri. So we had the Torah says that he has a bris kunas olam. So therefore, there's a gzera shava between bris melech, which is talking about salting the carbonus, and bris kunas olam. Could tell you kishem she'efshar le carbonus below kahuna. So the connection between carbonus and kahuna is saying just like you could not have carbonus without kuhuna, kach yefshel karbanos below melech. So too, you can't have karbanos without salt. So you see that salt is a requirement of karbanos, and if you're missing the salt, then the carbon is no good. So what do you see? Regardless of whether you learn like Rabbi Yehuda, who understands the nature of a bris to be that something is an absolute requirement, or Rabbi Shimon, who learns that it's a gzer shava. Either way, they're saying that melech is an salt on a carbon is an absolute requirement, and if you're missing it, the carbon is not good. And yet, we don't see anywhere that the Torah repeats the requirement for salt. So it's a question on Rav, because Rav says something that's repeated is essential, something that's not repeated is not. And yet we see that salt is considered necessary and essential, but it's not repeated. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Rav, you're asking on Rav, that you're saying we see that salt is necessary and is not repeated. He says, Rav ketana didan svirole. Rav holds like the Tana of our Mishnah. The Amar who said, lo malach kasher. It's, if you didn't salt, it's still kasher. Because if you remember, we went through on our Mishnah and we said, lo yatzik, lo bala, lo lo pises, lo malach, lo henef, lo higish. So one of those things is lo malach, if he didn't salt, and the Mishnah says at the end, kashera. So he's saying, your question on Rav was based on the fact that salt is an absolute requirement, and yet it's not repeated, so why is an absolute requirement not repeated? So we say, no, it's not an absolute requirement. Rav can say, I hold like our Mishnah, the Mishnah here in Menachos on Daf Yurches Amud Aleph, and rather I hold like that, rather than Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon who say it's necessary. So Amrle Abaya said to him, okay, so basically what you're telling me is that Rav holds like the Tan of our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says literally if you don't salt the carbon, it's kosher. So we're saying Rav holds like that, but that creates a problem according to Abaya. Amrle Abaya, Ihachi, if so, lo yatzak nami, lo yatzak klal. So he says, if you're understanding that lo malach means he didn't salt, so then lo yatzak, that you didn't pour, should mean you didn't pour at all. Because if the Mishnah is saying you didn't salt means you just totally omitted salting, then when it says you didn't pour, it means also you totally omitted pouring. But what's the problem with that? Elo lo yatzak koin elazar. So he says, Hachanami lo malach koin elazar. So he says, but I have a problem because we just learned earlier in the last day or two that when it says lo yatzak, that if he didn't pour out, it doesn't mean that he didn't pour out at all, because that in fact would be a problem if he didn't do the third pouring of a mincha. But we reinterpreted or understood the Mishnah to be saying that what does it mean when it says he didn't pour? It means he didn't, a kohen didn't pour, but a non-kohen poured, and that was still kosher. So therefore, Abaye is saying, in order to answer for Rav, you said Rav holds like our Mishnah, and the way he's understanding the Mishnah is that, in fact, if you don't salt, and you totally skip salting, that's okay. But he says, well, that's a problem, because we know Lo Yatzak had to do with a coin versus a zar, so too Lo Malach should be that way. So don't understand our Mishnah as being the Tana for Rav to rely on that says that it's okay totally not to salt. So Amrlei, he said back to Abaya, so this would be Rav Yosef said back to Abaya, V'chisala al-daitecha shezar karav legabim mizbeach. He says, okay, so let's think about what you're saying. You're saying that lo malach means, when it says, the Mishnah says, if you didn't salt, it's kosher, means that if you didn't salt by a kohen, but it was a zar who salted it, that's what the Mishnah says when it's kosher. He says, but wait a second. So he basically, okay, sorry, minor interruption here. The Daf Yomi today is sponsored by Stephanie Rabinowitz in honor of the yahrzeit of her father, Moshe Ben Chaim, Zichrono Livracha. Our learning today should be an aliyah for his neshama.
Amen.
Okay, so he's saying, what are you telling me? You're telling me that you think that when the Mishnah says he didn't salt, it's kosher, means that a kohen didn't salt, but it was the Yisrael who salted. But hold on a second. Where does the salting occur? A salting occurs on top of the Mizbeach. A non-kohen, a zar, is not allowed on top of the Mizbeach. So it doesn't make sense that you should think that our Mishnah is talking about is talking about a zar doing it versus a kohen. It means literally that the person did not salt at all, and it's still kosher. And in fact, Rav relies on that Tana when he says, yes, it's true, the Torah does not repeat the requirement for salt, and therefore it's in fact not a requirement, like the Tana of our Mishnah, unlike Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon from the Brice on top of our Amud. Okay, so that's answer number one. We said, Rav, how could it be that the Torah doesn't repeat it and yet it's necessary? He says it's not necessary. The second answer, which we're going to say to Rav, the question on Rav is, it seems from the Brice of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that salting is necessary and disqualifies if you're absent, but yet it's not repeted. He says, and this is, we had similar with other things when we were going through with etzpa and kohuna and those things. We had similar. There are things that can substitute. So the idea is that even if the Torah didn't repeat it, but if it said bris, that's as if it did a repetition. In other words, it's something, the idea of a covenant is sufficiently important that it's similar to the concept of repeating, and therefore it's an absolute requirement. So you would say that ordinarily Rav would hold that in order for something to be an absolute requirement, it in fact needs to be repeated. But there's other exceptions also when you say something is absolutely required. It's not only a repetition, it could also be something like the usage of the word bris, And that would also explain why it would be an absolute requirement, even though the Torah did not repeat it. So two answers for Rav Huna's question on Rav. So now, ask the Gemara. Hold on a second. Like Tana Beikra, forget the answers you're giving here. I have a problem with the premise of the question. The question on Rav was, you see that salting is an absolute requirement, and yet the Torah doesn't repeat it. That was the question. Ask the Gemara now, who said the Torah doesn't repeat it? V'haksiv, it's written in the Pasuk. This is a Pasuk in Vayikra Beis. It says as follows. V'chol karbon minchascha b'melech timlach. He says, any karbon that is your mincha should be salted. B'melech timlach, you should salt it with salt. V'lo sashbis melech bris elokecha me'al minchasecha. And you shouldn't destroy the salt that's the covenant with Hashem from on top of your mincha. Al kol karboncha takriv melech. On all of your karbanos, you should bring salt. So we have a pasuk that says that all of the karban mincha should have salt, that you shouldn't negate the bris of salt on the karbanos, and on every karban you should bring salt. So it seems like the Torah is very clear that it is in fact repeating the requirement for salt. It says it three times. So the whole premise of the question on Rav was, why is it absolutely necessary if the Torah didn't repeat it? Ask the Gemara, it looks like the Torah does repeat it. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a repetition that's available to tell us that salt is an absolute requirement. Why? Because hahumi boile lichidisanyo. Because I need all of those elements of those of that pasuk that's talking about salting. I need to teach us halachos, and it's not there to teach us that it's an absolute requirement that there be salting. So when you have a repetition, the Torah says the same thing twice. So you say, okay, it's there to tell you that's an absolute requirement. But if the Torah actually needs those words for very specific purposes, so then it's not there to tell you that's an absolute requirement. So therefore, we're going to bring a brisa that darshins that pasuk and uses it for other things, and therefore it's not available for the concept of it being a repetitious pasuk, which would make an absolute requirement. So what does the brisa says? The brisa says, ilu namar karbon b'melech. So the pasuk says, "V'chol karbon minchascha b'melech." So what if it didn't say minchascha? What if it just said any karbon b'melech timloch? That any karbon should be salted. So if it would have said karbon b'melech, shomei ani afilu eitzim v'dam shenikru karbon. He says, if all you said is that every karbon should be salted, I would think that you need to salt when you bring a carbon of wood or when you bring dam. Why? Because both wood and dam are called carbon. Where do we see that wood and dam are called carbon? We'll actually see one of these later that the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Nehemiah, which says, "Va'agorolos hipalnu al carbon ha'etzim." It says that they drew lots on who should do the carbon of the wood. This is talking about when they came up to reestablish the second base on Mikdash. So they had a lottery on who should bring the carbon of the wood. So you see that wood is called a carbon. And Rashi says, V'dam ikri carbon. Where do you see the idea that blood is called a carbon? Shehu ikr kol azevach. Because we know blood is the main thing of a carbon. Right? So in other words, blood is what it permits the meat to be eaten. It's what brings the kapara. So obviously blood is part, you could argue that blood is a carbon. So therefore, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, that if it had skipped the word minchascha and it just said that chol karbon b'melech timloch, that every carbon should be salted, I would learn from there that you need to salt when you bring a carbon of wood or when you bring dam. Tamalomar mincha. So therefore, it says v'chol karbon minchascha b'melech timloch. It needed that word mincha. So ask the Gemara, ma mincha miuchedes shacherim barin chavin lo, af kol shacherim barin chavin lo. So he says as follows. So by adding in mincha, it excludes eitzim and dam. How does it exclude it? Because it's saying things that are similar to mincha. So just like mincha is unique in the sense that it requires something else to be brought along with it. What is that? That is wood. In other words, right? If you bring a carbon mincha and you need to burn the kometz, so a necessary element of burning the kometz is you need to bring wood. So a mincha requires something else to come along with it, as distinct from wood wood itself, at least the way this brisa learns, the wood would just get lit. You'd put it on the mizbeach and you would light it. You wouldn't put it on top of other wood, right? And dam doesn't get burnt. What do we do with dam? We sprinkle it, we pour it out, we do things like that, but we don't burn it. So neither wood nor dam requires something else to come along with it, whereas mincha does require wood to come along with it. Af kol shacherim barn choven lo. So therefore, anything else that's similar to mincha that requires something to come along with it, i.e. wood, in that case, you would require salt, but you would not require salt for a carbon of etzim, of wood, or of dam. Okay, so that's what we get from the word mincha. So now the Gemara says, ima mincha miuchedes shemateres. So he says, but wait a second, you're saying that adding in the word mincha should tell you that it excludes wood and dam because it includes things that are like a mincha in the sense that a mincha has wood that comes with it. He says, maybe I'll find some other element of mincha that would actually include dam. So he says, ima mincha miuchedes shemateres af kol shematir. Avidam shematir. So he says, wait a second. You add in the word mincha, so maybe I'll define mincha as telling you anything similar to mincha in the sense that it is a matir. Why? Because when you bring the mincha, when you burn the komets of the mincha, is when you're able to eat the shirayim, that you can eat the rest of the thing. So it's a matir. But as we know, because we've learned here in Menachos and for a long time in Zvachim, dam is also a matir. So he says, how does adding in the word mincha tell you to exclude dam and etzim? Maybe it's coming to tell you that you include dam and etzim, that you include dam, because dam is a matir, just like a mincha is, and therefore dam should require salt. So we say, Talmud Lomer, therefore it says, me'al minchascha, that it should be, this is the second phrase of the pasuk when it says, lo sashpis melech bris elokecha me'al minchascha. So when it says, me'al minchascha, from on your mincha, v'lo me'al damcha, and not from on top of your blood, right? So therefore, we're saying, if I had to choose, I would choose to exclude etzim and dam, and bring things that necessitate something else coming along with it, in this case wood, rather than look at whether it's a matir. Because, why? Because there's the pasuk, not only mincha, but the second phrase of that pasuk, when it says me'al mincha secha, which excludes your dam. Okay? So, now, the Gemara continues, so we've kind of finished that little thought, but the Brisa continues darshaning this pasuk. Yachol, I might think, to hey mincha kula tu'una melech. So, okay, so we've included that a mincha carbon needs to have melech on it, and carbonas that are similar to mincha that bring along wood. So he says, maybe the entire carbon needs salt. Because the question, when you have a mincha, you have two parts. You have the komets, and you have the shirayim. So maybe, and the shirayim is eaten, the komets is burnt. Maybe everything needs salt. Talmud Lomar, carbon. Therefore, it added the word in the beginning, because now what the Gemara is dealing with is as follows. So we talked about, why couldn't it say, v'chol carbon b'melech timloch? Why can't any carbon, you let the pasuk say, every carbon should have salt? And the Gemara said, no, because that would include wood and blood. So now we're asking the other question. So fine, So say v'chol minchascha b'melech timloch, that any mincha should be salted. You don't need the word carbon. So we're saying no. Tamalama carbon, which tells you carbon ta'in melech v'ain mincha kula tuna melech. By telling you carbon minchascha, by telling you that it's your carbon mincha, it's telling you that the mincha part, the carbon part of the mincha, i.e. the komets, is what requires the salt. But the shirayim would not require salt. Continues the Brisa. Ve'ein li ela komets. So he says, so I have the komets. Minayin l'rabos es halavona. So he says, okay, so I've learned that you need to salt the komets. How do I know that you need to salt the lavona? And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the sequence, the connection of this part of the Brisa is. So the Brisa says, how do I know to include that the lavona needs to be salted? Mar bani es halavona shekein ba imo bekli echad. He says, I know that the lavona should get salted. Why? Because the lavona is in one kli shares, in one utensil, together with the rest of the mincha. So therefore, the connection between them, once I know that the carbon portion of the carbon mincha needs to be salted, so I know that the lavona portion also needs to be salted. So ask the Brisa, Minayin l'rabba says halavona haba b'fnei atzmo. Well, wait a second. That works for lavona that is put together with a carbon mincha. But what if someone pledges to bring lavona? So then there's no, it's not in a keli with a mincha. How do I know that that should get salted? Ulavona haba b'vazichin. And what about the lavona that comes with the spoons that were on the shulchan and the lechem upon him? He says that is not in one keli together. V'aktores minchas kohanim, he says, v'aktores, and you have the ktores, which also doesn't come in a keli with other things, and yet it needs to be salted. Minchas kohanim, you have the when you have a kohen who brings a carbon mincha, it's different than a mincha that gets eaten by the shirayim get eaten and the komets get burnt. The minchas kohanim gets burnt in its entirety. How do I know that needs salt? Minchas kohen mashiach. That when you have the kohen gadol's carbon, which is the chavitin, which is brought half in the morning, half in the end of the day. How do I know that requires salt? Minchas nesachim. And when you have a mincha that comes together with the wine that accompanies an ola or a shlamim, how do I know that needs salt? Emure chatos. How do I know that the emurim, that the limbs that get burnt on a chatos, need to be salted? Ve'emure asham, and the limbs of an asham. Ve'emure kadshe kadashim. And what about the emurim of kadshe kadashim, which Rashi explains in this instance means the kizbe, the sheep that are brought on shvuas, the two ksavim that are brought on shvuas. Ve'emure kadshe kalim, and the emurim, the limbs that are burned from kachim kalim. Ve'evare ola, and the limbs of an ola, ve'ola sa'of, and an ola sa'of, minayin. How do I know all of those things require melech? Talmud Lomar, so finishes the brisa. Therefore, it says the third clause in the pasuk, al kol karboncha takrav melech. On all of your karbonos, you should offer up salt. So that includes all of those other list of karbonos. Okay? So what do we have here? We had a long brisa. So the question was, the initial question we were dealing with is the premise of the question that Rav Huna asked on Rav at the bottom of Yotes Amud Beis was, how come salt is an absolute requirement, but yet it's not repeated? So the Gemara asked, but it is repeated, because I have a pasuk that seems to have three clauses talking about salt and karbanos. To which the Gemara answered, no, it's like this brisa. We needed all of these clauses because this brisa walked us through the pasuk and explained all the clauses were needed, and therefore they weren't there to look at it as a repetition. And if it's not there to look at it as a repetition, so then it's not required according to the Tana of our Mishnah, the way we had the first answer there. Okay, so that's the structure of the Gemara. So now we've finished that, and we're going to spend some time analyzing and understanding this brisa that we brought. The purpose of the brisa was just to show you that all of the clauses of the pasuk are necessary. But now we're going to walk through the pasuk in more detail, the brisa in more detail. Amar Mar, Ein li ela komets minayin l'rabos hasalavona. So it said after discussing that we know. So it says I only know that the komets. Gets burnt with salt. How do I know that the lavona gets burnt with salt? So he says, Marbanias halavona shekein ba imo b'kliyachot. So we answered, no, the way I know that the lavona gets burnt with salt is because it's in the same keli, as the mincha. So the Gemara says, v'ha amret ma mincha miyuchedesh achirin boin choven lo. So the Gemara is asking the following question, which is, if you think about the structure of the Brisa in the beginning said that we see by the word, by adding the word minchascha, right, it told us that a carbon that gets salted has to be similar to a mincha. In what sense is it similar to a mincha? That something else comes along with it. Something is a chova with it, like wood, right? So what would that include? That would include anything similar to a mincha that requires wood to come in order to burn it. So I have a question the Gemara is asking. You then, subsequently to learning that anything that brings along wood gets salted, you then bring something to learn, how do I know lavona gets salted? And then you bring that whole list of karbanos and say, how do I know that those get salted? And we say, because it says at the end of the pasuk, I'll call karbancha takrav melech. So the question the Gemara is dealing with here, it says, wait a second. The first part of the brisa said anything that makes wood come along with it to burn it gets salted. So that includes Levona, it includes the Evarim of Kachay Karshim and Kachim Kalim and Chatas and Ola and all those things. So all those things that were listed on the Brisa that you said I needed the third clause of the Pasuk, and then the things having to do with Levona, which I said I needed the, well, which we said comes along with it. So he says in the same Klisharis, what did I need any of that for? I could have learned this all out from the beginning. That's what the Gemara says. Va'amret, you said, ma minchum yuchedesh acherim boin choven lo. Anything that requires something else to come along with it, which is the wood. So why do I need this, why do I need that, other limud, of al kol karban chatak rav melech? Why don't I just learn it out from anything similar to mincha that brings along wood with it? So the Gemara says, hachi kamar, you have to understand the Braisa a little bit different. So the Braisa made this argument, said it adds the word mincha. Mincha tells me anything that requires wood or something like it to come along with it. So to that, so that's how the Gemara, the Braisa understood it in the middle, in the beginning. But then the Gemara explains, so it said, wait a second, but maybe that's not a good limud, because I'll say, ema karban klal umincha prat. So what happened? The pasuk said, v'chol karban minchascha, that any karban that is a mincha, that is your mincha, b'melech timloch, should be salted. So maybe, kol karban, any karban is a klal, that's a general statement, any karban. Then it says, minchascha, your mincha, that would be a prat. And what's the halacha of klal or prat? Ein beprat el klal masha beprat. That the prat defines the klal. So therefore, this pasuk would be talking only about a carbon mincha, right? I would not be able to learn out anything else other than a carbon mincha, because klal prat ein beklal masha beprat. So he says, mincha in midyachrini lo. So initially, the Brisa thought, I could learn everything out. Anything that requires wood to come along with it needs to be salted. Good, we're finished. We're through here. But then the Brisa says, well, hold on a second. Maybe when you're saying anything that's similar to mincha, that doesn't work, because a klal uprat is, the prat defines the klal. It's not anything that's similar to the prat. So the Gemara says, Hada Amar, therefore the Brisa had to go through and say, Al ko karboncha takriv melech. At the end of the pasuk, it said that on every carbon you bring melech, so therefore it's chazav rekalal, klal uprat klal, iatadan elekena prat. So he says as follows, that now the way you have to look at it is as follows. If it would be v'chol karbon minchascha, if that was the whole thing, it would be a klal and a prat. Karbon is klal, minchascha is a prat, and we would be stuck only knowing karbon mincha. So says the Gemara, now that the pasuk says, or says the Braisa, v'chol karbon, any karbon, that's klal, minchascha, that is your mincha, that's a prat, that's specific. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says, al kol karboncha takrav melech, on any karbon you should bring salt. So you have klal uprat klal. Once it becomes a klal uprat klal, it's anything that's similar to a mincha. So the Gemara started by saying, it says mincha, so anything similar that brings wood. The Gemara says, well, wait a second, maybe I need to bring these other things. Maybe I need to learn out Lavona separately. Maybe I need to learn out all those other karbonos separately, because I can't learn them out from mincha, because it's only a prat. So therefore, at the end of the Brisa says, no, we can go back and say that everything's learned by being similar to mincha in the sense that it brings along wood with it, because there is a klal at the end of the pasuk which gives us a klal, a prat, a klal. And therefore we could say, ma prat mufurish acherim ba'un choven lo, af kol shacherim ba'un choven lo. So just like the mincha brings along something else as a requirement with it, i.e. wood, so too anything that brings it along. So it includes the chatas and the ola and the kachay kachim and all those things, and it excludes etzim, wood, and dam. So he says, okay, so now the Gemara says, acherim, okay, so now the new topic, acherim, or continuing with discussing this price, but a new stream, acherim debayin chovin la mayniu, etzim. So we said, anything that's similar to a mincha in the sense that it obligates something else to come along with it, and that would be wood. So he says, so af kol, he says, my new etzim, so he says, af kol etzim ema, so he says, so ema levona, hold on 1 second. Af kol etzim ema, let's see what this. Okay, so he says, ema levona v'aisi dam. Oh, okay, so he says, okay, so we talked about this concept of the Brisa brought up Levona. So we say, we're going to say as follows, So he says anything that obligates something else to come along with it, which would be wood. So because the carbon mincha requires wood to come along. So now he says emo levona va'isi dam dika nisachim. So he says as follows, that we should learn out. So in other words, if you're telling me that anything that's similar to the mincha, that it obligates something else to come along, which is wood. But he says, once I know, and this is how you have to read into the Gemara a little bit, once I know Levona, which the Mishnah actually addressed specifically by saying it's in the Klisharis together, but also the Levona brings the wood. He says, so he says as follows, that he says, V'aisi dam de'ika nisachim. So he says, if it has to be similar to a mincha in the sense that it obligates something else to come along with it, we excluded dam. But we're saying, why exclude dam? Maybe say dam has something that is required to come along with it, which is the nesachim. That when you offer up the dam, you also offer up the nesachim. And so therefore say that the dam obligates something to come with it, and the dam would no longer be excluded by, the way we were excluding dam is by saying it only includes things that obligate something else to come along with it, but dam obligates nesachim to come along with it. So the Gemara says, nesachim bahadei emurim huda asu. So the Gemara says, no, you're telling me that dam obligates the nesachim to come. It's not the dam that obligates the nesachim, it's the emurim. So therefore, dam, in fact, does not obligate anything to come with it, and it would be excluded by the comparison to mincha, which does require something to come along with it. So the Gemara says, one second, why would you say that the nesachim come along with emurim? Because achila v'shesia. Because you'll say that eating and drinking go together, right? So the nesachim, the emurim are meat, they get burned, and nesachim are drink, they get poured. So achila v'shesia, those go together. So he says, is that why you're telling me that dam doesn't bring the nesachim, but rather the emurim bring the nesachim? He says, adarabah, I'll tell you the opposite, kapara v'simcha. So he says that the dam really brings the nesachim because he says because there is the dam brings the kapara because we know that the dam brings the atonement, and therefore the wine offering the nesachim is the simcha that comes from having achieved atonement. So therefore it in fact is a piece of the dam. So he says so therefore he says as follows. So now just to be clear, I started to explain it before, but let me just read this, and then we'll understand how Levona plays into here. So says the Gemara, El Levona ba imo b'kli echad, nesachim ein ba'in b'kli echad. So he says as follows, that the reason that we're going to say that Levona can be included, but a nesachim cannot be included, is because the Levona is together with the mincha in one keli, which is not the case with nesachim, and so therefore you have no proof. What was the proof here? Basically, the idea was once we know that Levona is included and gets salted. Why? Because the Levona permits the shirayim. So now the Gemara is saying, once you're telling me, and when you say that wood is obligated for a mincha, the relationship between the mincha and the wood, they're very much connected because the wood is coming subservient to the mincha, whereas Levona is not have that same relationship. So the Gemara is answering and saying that no, the reason I needed to tell you that Levona comes together in the same keli is to tell you that it's uniquely in that instance that we say that it's brought along, but not the same as the relationship between dam and nesachim, between blood and the nesachim that gets poured. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so aval etzim ki hechi de miskasher behu mincha hachi miskasher behu kulo karbonos. So he says that the mincha, just like that the etzim so we're saying is that just like the mincha, has the wood, that so too all of the karbanos that all of the karbanos are included. We listed all those other karbanos that are part of it. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ema ma prat mefurish acherim baron chovin lo umataras af kol acherim baron chovin lo umataras." So now the Gemara's question is as follows: we utilized anything that's similar to mincha to say as follows, that if just like mincha obligates something else to come along with it, which is wood, so too anything that obligates something to come along with it. And therefore we include all the other karbanas, because all the other karbanas also need to be burned. So the Gemara's question now is as follows. Wait a second. You're defining mincha as something that requires something else to come along with it, and therefore it has very broad application. Maybe we should make two elements of mincha, and then it will have much smaller application. So if we say that just like mincha is, that it brings something else along with it, which is wood, but also that a mincha is a matir, right? So then therefore you should say that for anything to be included by this thing that's similar to the prat, that's similar to the mincha, A, it has to bring something along as a chova, and B, it has to be a matir. So what would that include? Umay niu, that would include levona habav v'zichin d'shari lechem. He says that would include levona that comes together with the spoons, that comes together with the lechem upon him, because it's a matir for the lechem. So A, it obligates something else to come along with it, because the levona gets burned, and it's a matir because it's matir, it's shari the lechem. Avol midi achrini lo. So he says as follows, the Gemara's question is as follows. You define, in other words, you're saying you had a klal, a prat, a klal. You had kol karbon is the klal, you had minchascha, your mincha, and then you had kol karboncha, any karbon. You decided that mincha is the prat, and anything that's like mincha, that it obligates wood to come along. But maybe we should say anything that's like mincha that requires something else to come along, and is a matir. Then it's a much more restrictive, limud. So the Gemara says, no, that it is not the way you should read it, because mide istrich me'al menchascha v'lo me'al damcha mechlau dahanach kulo asi b'chad tzad. He says as follows, that one of the things the Brisa did, the Brisa was excluding dam, and it said, how do I know that dam is excluded? Because the pasuk says me'al menchascha from your mincha, and not from your dam, right? So now the Gemara is saying as follows, that what was the reason we might have included dam is because dam is a matir. But dam, as we discussed, does not obligate anything else to come along with it. So dam only has one element of commonality with mincha, and yet we needed a pasuk to come and tell us that don't include dam. So you see that if in fact you required two elements, we wouldn't even have had a havamina to include dam, and we wouldn't have needed a pasuk. From the fact that we need a pasuk to exclude dam, the reason we would have included dam is because it had one element of commonality. So therefore you see that when we're learning out this klal uprat uklal, it's sufficient to have one element of commonality. You don't require two. And therefore we're okay with the Brisa's initial inclusion, which included many, many other karbanos by saying anything that brings along wood with it. Okay, next part of the Brisa. Amar mar, me'al minchascha v'lo me'al damcha. That it said that we exclude dam because it says that it says me'al minchascha, so he says, and not from your dam. So the Gemara says ve'ema me'al minchascha v'lo me'al avarecha. So the Gemara says, okay, well, wait a second here. Basically, what we have going on here is that we have a klal prat uklal, and then we have the idea of me'al minchascha, right? So what did we do? We said that klal prat uklal and me'al minchascha excluded wood and excluded dam. So the question is, why did you choose to exclude dam? In other words, dam has an element of commonality in that it's a matir. Those other karbanas had the element of commonality that it obligates wood to come along with it. So how did you choose to exclude dam and include all those other karbanos? Maybe you should have excluded all those karbanos and included dam. So, there's nothing about me'al minchascha that says specifically it's excluding dam. Maybe it's coming to exclude other animals. So the Gemara says, mistabra ivarim havelei l'rabuye. It makes sense that if you can include something and exclude something, you should exclude blood and include those other karbanos. Why? Shekein Ashban Tmei Simen. So we're going to see a bunch of reasons. So he says, first of all, there's like six elements that are similar between Mincha and those other Karbanos as distinct from Dam. First of all, Acherim Bain Chovin Lo. First of all, a Mincha obligates something else to come along with it, which is the wood. Same thing with a Varim of the other Karbanos, as distinct from Dam, which does not require wood. Chovin Lo Kamoso. Ishim, so he says, Ishim Kamoso Bachot, Ishim Kamoso, I'm sorry, so that these, that the Evarim and the Mincha get burnt, whereas Dam gets sprinkled, it doesn't get burnt. Bachutz Kamoso, that the Evarim are similar to Mincha in the sense that, the Evarim get burnt on the outer Mizbeach, so does the Mincha, as distinct from Dam, sometimes gets applied on the inner Mizbeach, sometimes gets applied in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so it's more, Dam is more dissimilar. Noser Kamoso, Tuma Kamoso, Me'ila Kamoso. The halachas of Noser apply both to a, and Rashi explains how we know all of these, that Noser, if you leave over meat, applies both to a Varim and to a Mincha. Tuma, if you eat it while you're Tameh, that there's Kares and Chatas, applies both to a, to the Evarim and to a Mincha, but not to Dam. Mi'ilo, that the concept of using something, if you do it unintentionally, that you have to pay a Chomesh and an Asham, applies to Evarim and to Mincha, but it is excluded from Dam. All three of these things, are excluded from Dam by a Limud that we learn in Maseches Yuma. So therefore, we're saying we have all these elements of commonality between Evarim and Mincha, so it makes more sense if you have an exclusion, Me'al Karbanecha, that it makes more sense to exclude Dam and include the thing to Evarim that have many elements of commonality. So Amud Beis, Adarabba, the Gemara says, Dam havili l'rabu yishakein matir kamoso. He says, wait a second, but Dam is similar to Mincha in the sense that it's a matir, whereas all these other things are not a matir, but a Mincha and Dam are both matirim. And not only that, nifso b'shkiyas achama kamoso. And he says, there's another element that Dam is similar to Mincha, unlike those other karbanos, which is what? That the mincha has to be brought the same day it's offered. It can't be done at night. And so too, dam has to be done during the day, as distinct from evarim, which can be burned during the night. So you see two elements of commonality with between mincha and dam. So the Gemara says, maybe I should compare it to Dam. So the Gemara says, Hanach Nefishin, it's a numbers thing. There's six elements of commonality between the Evarim and a Mincha, and there's two elements of commonality between Dam and a Mincha. So when we have an exclusionary Pasuk, we're going to apply it to Dam rather than apply it to Evarim, which have many more elements in common. Okay, Amar Mar, Shamei Ani Afilu Eitzim V'Dam Shenikru Karban. So the Gemara says that if it had only written v'chol karbon b'melech timloch, that any karbon you should need salt, and you didn't write minchascha, you didn't write mincha, so I would tell you that. So the Braisa said that I would think that even wood and dam, which are called karbonos, would be included. So therefore, it said minchasecha to tell you something that's similar to mincha. So the Gemara asks now. Hold on a second. Man shamalei damar etzim ikri karbon. Who's the one who says that Eitzim are called a carbon? L'Rebbe. So he says, Rebbe. He says it's Rebbe. So now here's the problem. If this price is Rebbe, we have a problem because L'Rebbe Mibayi Bo Melech. Rebbe, the price that we're talking about actually says that salt, that wood and dam are excluded. They do not need salt. But if you're saying this price is Rebbe because he's the one who holds that Eitzim is a carbon, Rebbe actually holds that wood does need salt. So it can't be Rebbe. How do we know that? Destanya, because we learned. Carbon, the fact that it said the word carbon, melamed shemiz nadvin eitzim. So he says that the Braisa says, this is, we're not up to Rebbe yet, but it says that the fact that he uses the word carbon, tells you that you can make a nedava, you can make a gift to the base of Mikdash of wood. The comma, how much wood would he give? Shnei gizrin, which is two blocks of wood. V'cheinu omer, that, so it says, this is the pasuk I referenced before from Nehemiah, it says, v'agorolos, he paunu al karbon eitzim, that the lotteries fell on who gets to do the carbon of the wood. So you see that carbon, that wood can be brought as a carbon. Okay, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Eitzim karban mincha hein utun and melech utun and hagasha. Basically, because the pasuk where we learn out karban, which is our pasuk that we were darshaning all day, which is written by karban mincha, so the fact that it says karban, which includes wood, Rabbi says, because it's coming from a pasuk that's written by karban mincha, that the wood is just like a karban mincha, and therefore just like a karban mincha needs melech, that the wood needs melech, utun and agasha needs to be brought to that southwest corner of the mizbeach, right? And continues, v'amar Rava, Rava says, l'divrei Rabbi, according to Rabbi, because he holds that a karban of wood is an actual mincha, therefore eitzin, tu'un, and kemitza. You would actually need to shred up the wood, and the kohen would need to do kemitza, because an offering of wood is literally a mincha, according to Rabbi. V'amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, l'divrei Rabbi, eitzim tzrichim eitzim. So he says, actually, according to Rebbe, we talked about before that wood does not require anything to come along with it. According to Rebbe, it would, because since Eitzim is actually a carbon mincha, you need to put it on top of other wood. So they're pointing out, Rav and Rav Papa are pointing out how far Rebbe goes in considering wood an actual carbon mincha. So here's our problem. We had a brisa that discussed the fact that Eitzim are not a carbon mincha. And we said, why would I have thought it's a carbon mincha? Because it's called a carbon. Who's the one who calls it a carbon? That's Rebbe. But Rebbe holds that it actually is a carbon, as a carbon mincha, and therefore needs salting. So we had a brisa that said, eitzim are a carbon, which sounds like Rebbe, but then it said, eitzim are excluded from an obligation of salting. So that's the problem that Gemara is dealing with right now. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Sami mikan eitzim. He says, you're right, this is Rebbe, because Rebbe is the one who says that a carbon of wood is a real carbon. So therefore, take out from our brisa that we're saying now is Rebbe, Eitzim, that Eitzim are excluded, and we're saying just Dam is excluded. Because we excluded Dam and Eitzim, we're saying, no, this is Rebbe, so don't exclude Eitzim, because Rebbe actually holds that Eitzim need melech, need salt. So the Gemara says, Vela krala l'mitemai. So the Gemara says, well, hold on a second, because we had two limudim. We had the klal prado klal, and we had me'al minchasecha. And we said, which is not your dam. So we were using the klal prado klal for the wood, and we were using me'al minchasecha for the dam. Now, if we get rid of wood, so then the klal prado klal that makes it similar to a mincha will exclude dam, and we have an extra pasuk. What are we going to do with it? So he says, v'i l'mu'ute dam. He says, me'al minchasecha nafka. He says, it's true we're left with dam when we remove eitzim, but we already learned it out from me'al minchasecha. So what do? We have two limudim. We have a klal prado klal. We have me'al minchasecha. Dam uses one. If you're removing eitzim, then what's going to be using the second? So says the Gemara, top of Chafalef, apik eitzim va'ayal nesachim. He says, you're right. We need a second thing because we have two things, klal prado klal plus me'al minchasecha. So he says, what we're excluding is dam and nesachim. Then nesachim are also excluded because they do not bring along wood with it. Desanya, because we've learned in a brisa, avayayin va'adam va'etzim akhtaris ein tunim melech. So he says, we have a brisa that says that wine and blood and wood and akhtaris do not need melech. So therefore you see, that is a case of a brisa So you see a Tana who holds that Eitzim are in fact, are excluded. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is this? E Rebbe. So he says, okay, so you found the Brisa that said that Eitzim are you know what, we'll pick up this in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, because anyway, we're out of time, so we'll pick up the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph tomorrow morning.